afternoon. This is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Mark Haney today. The Emmy Award-winning Orange is the New Black, based on Piper Kerman's memoir of the same name, depicts her arrest, conviction, and incarceration for drug trafficking. But the book and TV series are only from Kerman's perspective. Now, Cleary Walters, the real-life Alex Voss from the show, tells her side of the story in a new book, Out of Orange. She joins us to discuss her experiences. She'll be presenting her memoir at a signing event tonight at 7 o'clock at Joseph Beth Booksellers at the Rookwood Pavilion. Then, later in the hour, we'll hear about Artworks, the big pitch. Applications are now being accepted for the 10-week mentorship program and pitch competition for established artists, makers, designers, and creative entrepreneurs competing for up to $20,000 in business grants. But first, joining me to talk about her new book, Out of Orange, is Cleary Walters. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. You can email us a question at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon, Cleary. Welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
So tell us first why you decided to write this book.
I decided to write this book to tell my story, my actual story, which differs slightly from the fictionalized version shown on Netflix in Orange is the New Black.
So when did you first find out? We'll get into how you ended up in prison in a bit, but you were out of prison, you were on probation, you were sort of establishing your life again, and really not spreading the word around that this is what your past was. What happened?
No, I would say I was, like, definitely not spreading the word. I was hoping that my past would quietly disappear into my past and vanish. But then I was watching TV one night, and my past was looking back at me.
Well, what happened?
An ad for what I thought was a bath soap or shampoo or something along those lines came on, because it features a woman. First, it features a baby, then a woman showering, bathing, whatnot. And then she's suddenly in a prison. And I knew that my ex-lover, Piper Kerman, had written a memoir, and I was aware of the fact that it had been picked up by Netflix and was going to be turned into a series, but at the time, I didn't really grasp what reach Netflix had. I don't think Netflix really had the reach that it has today when this first came out. I think Out of Orange and House of Cards helped to foster that reach. In any case, seeing this on my television in my living room sitting next to my senile mother had a slightly different feel than just being aware of the fact that it was going to be this thing on the internet. And my reaction to it was shock.
So you're sitting there, you're watching that, you see it. What was the most shocking part of it for you, just seeing even that little clip?
The exposure. I felt instantly and absurdly exposed.
So what did you do? What was your first step when you realized that this show was coming out?
I told my friends, this is coming out, this is going to happen, and I found out that Donna from the 70s show was going to be playing me, which I thought was absolutely funny and very novel. I didn't quite really get paranoid, though, until I came home and started watching it myself. I was supposed to get with some friends the following day, and we were going to do our first official Netflix binge together. And I came home Friday after work. The Friday after the Thursday that the season one series had released, and watched one episode. And you know how Netflix prompts you through the episodes one at a time? Mm-hmm. And I just kept going. I couldn't stop. And I also realized that I wouldn't be able to watch that with, it would be really uncomfortable watching it with other people around me for the first time.
So you watched it, and then at this point you had a job, is that right? You were working?
Yeah, I was working as a software test analyst at Reed Elsevier in outside of Dayton.
And did you feel that you needed to tell your employer? What happened?
Well, I had told my employer that I had a felony conviction and had been in prison before they hired me. And it took me almost 2 years to get a job back in software where a company was willing to overlook that horrible scar on my record. So I was kind of scared. I didn't know quite what to do. I knew this wasn't going to just blow over the way the book had. I basically had a breakdown, for lack of a better expression, and Monday morning marched into my boss's office, closed the door behind me and said, "We have to talk," and explained to her that my felony conviction, the one that she knew about, and the memoir, the one I had told her about, had now been picked up by Netflix and it was going to be a hit. And where the company might have been okay with a, you know, hiring a felon, they might be a little bit concerned about having an infamous lesbian drug smuggler making out on everyone's TV in everyone's living room. So I was braced for basically getting canned, and she said, "So what? You're fine. We're not going to fire you. You've been honest with us." And I broke down in tears because I was so sure that was the beginning of the end of my road.
So you're still working there, is that right?
Yes, I am. And I love working there.
And did you find that as your employer took it that well? How about your friends and other people in your life? Did you find that people took it well, or did anyone try to take advantage of the situation?
People that I know did not try to take advantage of me. Everyone took it very well. In fact, I found that I had a gigantic supportive community surrounding me and had no idea. I'd been keeping that secret for 20 years from the people who, you know, primarily keeping it secret from my professional relationships, because clearly I didn't want that to interfere with my ability to work alongside other professionals and be treated as a peer, not as a charity case or as a, "Oh, poor Cleary. Yeah. Be nice to her. She's got problems." But as far as taking advantage of me goes, that was left to perfect strangers. I used to do this thing once a week where I would check for my name. I would do a search for it online. And once a week, I'd Google my name and get nothing back. And immediately following the show, I Googled my name and got my own mugshot staring back at me. And this is a scam. If I wanted to, I could have paid to have that taken down. And of course, it would pop up on five other sites where I could pay to have it taken down, and on and on and on until I was absolutely broken insane. So that was the one thing that prompted me to just get in front of it.
But people on the show, the character has a very different name than yours. How did the connection get made so easily?
Well, it's not hard to do. You do a search for Out of Orange. I'm sorry, that's my book. Orange is the New Black and Piper Kerman. And you will probably, within the first page of your results, start to get things that link to Piper Kerman's real life. And once you've linked to Piper Kerman's real life, making the leap from her to me is very easy.
What people may not know is that you grew up in Anderson Township. You're from the Cincinnati area. How does a girl from Anderson Township end up in this situation? How did this all get started that you even got to a point where you might end up in prison?
I blame it entirely on my community. I'm kidding. I have no good answer for that. There is no good reason or excuse for what I did. I might caution people who are listening that it's not any one single decision that can lead you down the wrong road. It's a series of small missteps until you've ultimately lost control. And I think that was my problem. My sister was going to be married to a Nigerian who was a Nigerian drug lord, which we didn't know at the time. And when we found out, it was... when I found out it was too late, I was already in Africa, and about to smuggle drugs back to the United States. And I thought, okay, I'll do this once. I will have this great, wonderful experience to someday tell my grandchildren about. And then I did it again. And then suddenly I couldn't get out because they didn't want me out. So I came up with this really clever alternative to actually breaking the law myself. I asked friends to do it who wanted to do it. And little did I know that that's not legal.
And that's what got you in trouble.
Right.
So then you were arrested. What happened next?
Well, I managed to get out of the organization within about 9 months of getting into it. And then went on about my life. And about a year and a half later, I was arrested, having been implicated by one of the people who had, in fact, been arrested bringing drugs into the country.
So this didn't happen. You were out of it by the time you
right.
got arrested.
Yeah, I was long out of it. And then I was arrested. So what was the question? I've lost my train of thought.
Well, the question was, so you've been out of it for a while, then you were arrested, and then you went immediately to prison? There was a trial? How did that...
No, when I was arrested, the officers who arrested me explained that there were a number of us being arrested simultaneously, and I was scared. I was terrified that the Nigerian drug lord would hear that all of us were being simultaneously arrested and have no alternative but to try to fix that problem. And fixing that problem would be fixing us, getting rid of us. So I thought we were goners. I thought, oh my God, the worst thing has happened that could possibly happen, and he's going to have us all killed. And he'd spent a great deal of time, making that point very clear, that you do not mess with him. And if you were ever arrested, there was this process that you went through. He would get lawyers, money, and that process could not occur if everyone was arrested. So I thought, well, he's not going to have any alternative but to knock us all off. So I asked for help. And help is exactly what I got. They
help from the government? Help from...
Yeah, they pursued him doggedly for years, trying to arrest him. They failed to do it. That's another novel's worth of information, so I won't.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to talk, we have to take a short break, but we're going to talk in just a moment about what it was like once you were arrested and then once you were in prison, and to see what that was like. I'm talking with the author of Out of Orange, Cleary Walters. We'll continue our discussion in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We continue our discussion now with the author of Out of Orange, Cleary Walters. In the Netflix show Orange is the New Black, the character of Alex Voss is based on Cleary's life, as told by Piper Kerman. Out of Orange is Cleary's side of the story. You can call in with your questions. We'd love to hear from you. 513-419-7100. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Again, our number 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment. Let's talk about your time in prison. Orange is the New Black has a definite way of showing what prison life was like. Is that exactly how you remember it?
Not exactly. That the show is, to me, looks like a lesbian bed and breakfast. And that's not what prison is actually like. It's a little bit darker, a little bit scarier, and there's a lot more people around you, a lot more stories occurring.
What would you like people to get out of your book, then, that perhaps is different from what we see on TV, on the TV show?
I would like them, first and foremost, to be entertained, but it is a cautionary tale. It's a cautionary tale in so much as what I talked about, the tiny missteps. You need to, at all times in your life, be very conscious of the decisions you make. Don't kid yourself at any point that making, just a little mistake or being just a little bit wrong is okay. Everything that you do has consequence. And here it is 20 years later, and the problem with drug addiction in this country is astonishing. And after 20 years of incarcerating American people, lots of American people, 800% more women now incarcerated than there were in 1987, for example, and the largest prison population of any country in the world, we have absolutely failed at solving the drug problem. In fact, the war on drugs has really become a war. It's a war of citizens against citizens. You look at what's going on between the police and the people that they are intended to protect and serve. That whole paradigm has been literally poisoned by this war on drugs. I don't, by any stretch of the imagination, profess that I have the answer. I just want it to be clear by my book and clear by other writers who have been in the same circumstances, that this is not the solution.
One of the things you mentioned in the book, one of the things that you learned in prison were two things. One was that it's a very corrupt place, and two, that rehabilitation is not really what's happening. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, rehabilitation is not happening there. They have classes for GEDs, which is a bonus, but it's not a it's mandatory. It's the education is handled almost punitively, and it's not beyond getting a GED. That really is the extent of it. They have sort of marginally useless parenting classes, things like that. Parenting classes, which, when you're dealing with a family where the mother has been taken out of the family, that family needs more than a 6-week parenting class of 1 hour of week sessions. And most importantly, the rehabilitation that is definitely lacking is drug addiction. There's no help for addicts.
Were you an addict? I mean, you were a smuggler. Did you use as well?
When I was smuggling, I did not use. When I went into the prison, I was addicted to Percocets and Vicodin, and I had a problem with my back and was taking it for far too long. So my experience is pale in comparison to a genuine addict, but the way that they handled my addiction was to simply stop giving it to me. Now, I didn't have a problem with that, except that it was excruciatingly uncomfortable for about the first week that I was there. But the drugs you can still access them while you're in prison. And so if you're addicted to heroin, for example, you're going to get it at all costs and irrespective of any risks or danger getting it in. And I think that the drugs are actually something that lends to the corruption with the officers that work there. And I don't want to create the impression that everyone who works in a prison is corrupt, because that's far from the truth. Most of the people that work in prisons are the salt of the earth. They're wonderful folks. But as in out here, anywhere, corruption exists. It's just that it feels more amplified when you're in it.
Well, you were there for longer. Piper Kerman spent a year and a half, 18 months, I think, in prison. You were there for 6 years.
Yes.
So do you feel like you had a better handle or a better idea of the broader aspect of what happened there?
I think I had more time to see it. I also didn't spend all of my time in a camp. Danbury, the Litchfield that's portrayed in Orange is the New Black is a camp, which is a lower security institution. And my time was split between a medium security and a lower security camp. So I think I saw a broader spectrum of what exists out there in terms of prisons for women. I also got extradited from Vermont, where I was arrested at the bank, to California and was treated to something that's called diesel therapy. And that's where you're put into the U.S. Marshals transport facility and you're moved via Con Air. And it's an interesting system, but the way that they handle overflow when they have too many people and they can't fit you all in the Oklahoma transfer facility is they put you in local county jails that have contracts with the government. And that gave me a peek at the county prisons, which was dismal.
What's the difference?
I guess if you could compare prison, federal prison to county prison is like, I don't know, the counties are like being in La Bianca. There's nothing. There's literally nothing going on but a bed. And it's like a zoo. It's like a warehouse full of people that are cramped, packed in there like sardines. And in some cases, the treatment of these people is less humane than a dog pound.
Do you think now that you are out, you've of course written this book, and you mentioned to me before the show you'd like to write more. Do you see yourself as an advocate for these folks in prison? I mean, where do you see your future beyond your regular job in computers? Where do you see your future?
I do see myself as an advocate for a change in our sentencing laws. I think that prisons should be reserved for people who need to be separated from society because they present a threat to society. And I don't think that first-time felons on drug-related crimes really rise to that challenge. I think we're putting millions of people in prison and destroying millions of families that don't necessarily need to be destroyed. Granted, something does need to happen. We do have a huge problem with drug addiction in this country, and I think you've seen the news in Cincinnati. It's just disturbing how many people are overdosing on heroin. But as I said, the solution that we've been using is no solution. It is actually, for all appearances' sake, it's actually exacerbating the problem. It's like we're advertising for drugs or something. And the more we try to enforce these laws, really the only effect that it's having is raising the value of the commodity. We've created a commodity out of illicit drugs. And I firmly believe if we made tobacco and caffeine illegal, it would also sell for X number of dollars on every street corner in every city, and people would be shooting each other over it, and gangs would be forming around it. It happened with liquor. So if I was to advocate anything, it would be for change. It would be for the end of prohibition and the, you know, let's look to what we've done with cigarettes. That campaign is working. We have less smokers. Let's look to countries who have different options that have tried different things. Norway has a declining addict population, an aging addict population, meaning the kids aren't picking it up. That's what we need here.
Getting back to the show briefly, if I can, have you been in touch with Piper since all of this came about?
I have. Piper has been a very supportive and dear friend of mine.
And she's read your book?
Yes, she has.
Do you think that you will get any of the your side onto the show? Do you think the producers will ever reach out to you?
I have no idea how they would do that, but that would be hysterical. I think that they should do it. The reality is so much more fun and so much more unpredictable and so much less plausible than fiction that it would be an interesting exercise to tie some of the reality back into Alex's life. And somebody asked me in New York a very similar question. What would you add to Alex's character? I would round her out. All we know about Alex in the show is that she's Piper's ex-lover and that she was a failed heroin smuggler. Aside from that, we can't see what future holds for Alex. We don't know about any of her hopes or dreams or aspirations, and that would be fun to see that.
Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, wait, we don't see any cats. We have to have cats.
That's right. You say you're a cat lady, right?
Yeah, I'm the crazy cat lady. I don't know how they could possibly be showing Alex without a cat next to her.
Did you have a cat when you were in prison?
I did. My kitty came home with me. Patches, the prison kitty. Her full name is Princess Patches, and Patches passed away in December, but she made it all the way back to Cincinnati and became a Cincinnati cat.
How long have you been back here now?
I got back here in October of 2008.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me.
I've been talking with the author of Out of Orange, Cleary Walters. You can find links to her book and her Facebook page on our website, wvxu.org. She'll be signing her book tonight at 7 at Joseph Beth Booksellers at Rookwood Pavilion.